In this stab at autobiography, almost a slasher attack on who he is and how he came to be that way, John Gregory Dunn thinks out loud about his mother and his brothers, being Irish-American in Hartford, Connecticut, Princeton in the Army, murder and suicide, Henry James, Truman Capote, George Eliot, and Lillian Hellman, television talk shows, Frankfurt whorehouses, Palestinian refugee camps, cardiac surgery, and why he writes. He'd rather not think about why he writes, but heart troubles turned him introspective. He seems to have decided that he writes novels like Dutch Shea Jr., The Red, White, and Blue, and True Confessions, and nonfiction like The Studio, Vegas, and Harp, in order to even the score. In general, he's full of class hatred. Specifically, he's possessed by an Irish-American animus toward WASPs, plus some contempt for his own posturing in this resentment, the four stages of his steerage to suburbia saga: immigrant, outcast, assimilated, deracinated. The Army helped some, too. If I had not gone into the Army as an enlisted man, he says, if I had not experienced what it was like to be a have-not, I doubt that I ever would have been so professionally drawn to outsiders. On the other hand, he isn't much for wallowing in the old sod, was never deeply stirred by the Troubles, has no allegiance to the IRA, nor even any particular enthusiasm for Yeats or O'Casey. Being outside is all right by him, a source of energy, a gift of material. Truman Capote's mistake, he says, was to believe himself a citizen of the world of fashion, when in fact he only had a green card. Stylistically, Dunn's inclined to ridicule. The Irish voice, he tells us, gets a kick out of frailty and misfortune. Its comedy is the comedy of the small mind and the mean spirit. Nothing lifts the heart of the Irish caroler more than the small vice, the tiny lapse, the exposed vanity. And so he ridicules himself. This is one of the things a writer does when suddenly he's afraid of dying. Dunn says he travels easier without the baggage of history, and all a history's social and genetic freight, but that freight's what we die of. When he finds out he isn't going to die, he tells his wife, "I think I know how to end this book now." Well, he doesn't really. He just stops. And his wife happens to be Joan Didion, whom he decided not to write about in his autobiography. Though I wish he had, because I think it's easier being Irish when you're married to someone who isn't, or at least I hope so. And also because, like everybody else who reads Dunn and Didion, which means everybody who's the least bit interested in American literature, I want their pillow talk. Besides, isn't your spouse another sort of history and another kind of religion against which daily you define yourself or are accommodated? But Dunn's got at something important in Harp. It's not just that after reaching out, with Gatsby, for the green light at the end of Daisy's dock, he then swats it like a mosquito. It's more that he refuses all blarney, on principle. He savages any tendency to lyric afflatus. He was born to write his savage novels, to nurse his bloody grudge.